You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Right. We'll be getting the Sydney crew in at 10:04. So sorry for the technical issues. The producer will be shot. Don't worry about that. Look, there's a few things happening tonight. Well, there's only one thing that's important. Dinner down at Frankston at La Porchetta's, 6:30pm start. If you're south of the river, or even north of the river, or even in New South Wales, you're welcome here. So it's La Porchetta's in Frankston. Can't miss it. 6:30pm staff. Reasonable food. You pay for your own food and drinks, and considering very little happens south of the Yarra, this is a great chance for people with different points of views to come together, have a meal together, and, you know, get used to each other. Don't forget, every Thursday, 12 to 1, Public Housing Everybody's Business has a vigil on the steps of the Victorian Parliament House for Public Housing from 12 to 1. As you would expect, we wander down to the Paramount Eatery after for a get together, share a bit of food and conversation. It's a good way of meeting people, as I said, with different viewpoints. The next few, what is it, another 30 seconds or so? 10 seconds. Here they come. The sacred cows have arrived. Sydney folk are here. The Community Radio Network. Welcome to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast by the Community Radio Network. My name is Joseph Toscano. This program is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. And if you wonder what anarchism is all about, no, it's not about the chaos around the world today. Anarchos without rulers. It's about creating a society without rulers. What gives rulers the ability to determine the lives of billions of people? Inequalities in power and wealth. So the anarchist struggles, the struggle to devolve power, possibly through direct democratic means, and the struggle to hold wealth in common and use it for the common good. Very simple concepts. You don't need a PhD in politics to understand what anarchism is all about. And you don't need to go on social media to find out what the definition is. Very simple. Society without rulers. Let's move on. Sometimes you wonder. You really wonder what's going on in our country. Well, Australia. I won't say our country. We don't own it, do we? Every year there's this analysis regarding the main not structures, but the feelings within society. I know it's a nebulous word, feelings, but people look at how they feel about living in Australia in 2025. And three words were repeated over and over and over again. Sick, sad, and lonely. Sick, sad, and lonely. Sometimes when you live in a capitalist society, one based on private investment for private profit, it seems the only goal, whether it's the upper echelons of the political classes or the CEOs of the corporate world, it's all about investment and profitability. And you and I and the other people listening or not listening to this program are really disposable extras. That's right. So if you're treated as a disposable extra, if people with ethics and morals are somehow pushed aside, you begin to understand why the three words sick, sad, and lonely have become symbols that epitomise life in 21st century Australia. Obviously, the population is aging. And as the population ages, and I should know this, I'm on 8 tablets currently to keep myself functioning. As the population ages, what happens is you get more and more physical, psychological ailments. So an aging population puts a greater burden on an underfunded health system. Because ultimately, if you have a serious medical issue, you'll find that in a majority of cases, you will find yourself in a public hospital setting because of the costs associated with private healthcare, even if you're insured. So an increasing aging population means an increasing number of people with multiple comorbidities. That's a fancy word with some of multiple medical issues. You know, it's just trying to make the best of it in a society where having disposable income is the yardstick of what type of life you can lead. Now, obviously, if you've got the money for a, you know, wonderful retirement, it's going to be much easier than somebody who's homeless. So sick, sad. Why is there such sadness and loneliness in our society? We have never been in a situation as human beings where we've had instant contact with the world. You can put an order for shit today and receive it tomorrow. You can go on Tinder, wherever you can go wherever you like. There's supposedly all this interconnection, instant interconnection. Somebody blows up a bomb in the middle of nowhere and the whole world knows about it. So in many regards, the creation of a virtual world or a social media virtual world, which is dominated by one principle. It's not a principle of actually allowing people to freely communicate. It's a principle of drawing people's eyeballs to a particular platform in order to maximise advertising revenue for the owners of those platforms. So in many regards, the creation of a virtual media empire has created a void in terms of human relationships and human interactions. At the same time, we see our neighbours as our enemies. We no longer have the idea that we live in a society which basically relies on cooperative behaviour to survive. So, if somebody gets murdered 1,000 kilometres away, it's instant news. And what that means is that we are constantly subjected to a barrage of information that creates this picture of total desolation and total destruction in society. So no wonder, as a society, we are sick, sad, and lonely. Because trying to interact with people is becoming increasingly difficult. The removal of public spaces and the replacement of public spaces by areas that you need a buck to enter. For example, you want to go to a toilet, you're on the streets. The chances of finding a public toilet, even in the CBD of one of the major capital cities in this country, is not very good. And people are forced into commercially orientated venues, whether it's a poker venue, whether it's a hotel, whether it's a pub, in order just to evacuate their bladders and do their number twos. So, when we have 26 million people living on a resource-rich continent and the primary results of a national survey, which is held every year, can be summed up in three words, that the population is sick, sad and lonely. The issue is not a personal issue. And for far too long in Australian society, the shortcomings of the system we live under have been thrown back at us. And we're told it's our issues, it's our personal problems. It's not. Obviously, we all have issues and personal problems, but the type of environment you find yourself in, the type of major ideas which dominate that environment, has a profound impact on individuals as well as communities. So isn't it about time that we seriously looked at the type of society a private investment for private profit system has created? Not only damages the elderly, it damages the very young, it damages those who spend all their life paying off a mortgage or paying rent to keep a roof over their heads. It damages the family unit, irrespective of the makeup of that family unit. It damages us as a society and it damages us as individuals. So there's no point shooting the messenger. You can shoot the messenger, but the message is the same. And if year after year we are seeing an increasing amount of sickness, sadness and loneliness among an Australian population that has never been so interconnected in a virtual sense and so distant in a real sense, we need to make significant changes, and simple changes that can be made, which were made in the 70s with the creation of community houses, neighbourhood houses, places where young people can gather. And the list goes on and on. Today, every aspect of our existence is dependent on a privatised entity. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. You know, when you've been broadcasting as long as I have, what actually happens is people contact you. People have specific issues. Most of them that contact me have issues that are very difficult to deal with, because it's not about individual failings. It's about the failings of a system, which is very hard to address. But occasionally, very occasionally, I have communication with people who want to make a difference. Now, I all know we love to be part of the Gunner tribe, and we're going to do this and going to do that. And the bigger Australian tribe, the somebody should do something about that tribe. Never, never think that you're going to be the one who needs to do something about that. And the fact that we're all cynical and resigned to the fact that you can't change anything. But occasionally, you get people who are willing to fight back. Not just fight back in the usual way, but fight back in their own little way. Now, I'd like to talk about Catherine versing the world. Catherine. K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, versing the world. Now, Catherine contacted me last week. She is very concerned about the fact that the artificial intelligence is cannibalizing the work of people. Creative people, writers, performers, intellectuals, academics, and using that information without acknowledging the source, without payment for the privilege of using that intellectual property, to not to, you know, help the world, but to once again bolster the profits of platforms that are owned by a handful of individuals. So what has Catherine suggested? What is she doing? Now, in my opinion, it's important that people fight back. Even a micro rebellion can be effective in terms of raising issues with other people. Now, obviously, intellectual, creative and intellectual property is an important aspect of human civilization. It's what has helped us move forward from the mystical, the magical, and the irrational. And I'll talk about that later on. So what has Catherine done? She has created a virtual platform of micro-rebellion. I like that, micro-rebellion, against the pilfering of our creative and intellectual property. All right? A micro-rebellion. Now, obviously, every listener to this program, The Anarchist World This Week, should be involved in a micro-rebellion of their own. And obviously, there are many ways you can rebel. For example, as far as the buffoon is concerned in Washington, I have attempted, and the key word is attempt, to not purchase anything or have anything to do with the United States of America under the tutelage of the buffoon, Buffalini, right? That's my little micro-rebellion. Now, I'm just one individual, but other individuals get involved, it begins to have an impact. So what Catherine has organised, she's organised a virtual platform. And what she'd like you to do, if you are concerned about the pilfering of our creative and intellectual property by what I would describe as overlords who own these platforms, who create these this technological innovations not to improve the lives of people, but to maximise their own profits and power. So what she'd like you to do is post a letter via an online form. And when describe letter, L-E-T-T-R-E. And the letter will be released into the wild via Les Lettres, L-E-S, one word, Lettres, L-E-T-T-R-E-S. So she's encouraging you to put your thoughts down and email them to Les Lettres. Now, the best way to email them is to send them to Carter, carter.com/compose-a-lettre, L-E-T-T-R-E. If you want further information, once again, Catherine, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, .com/composed-a-lettre, L-E-T-T-R-E. Just send your thoughts to this virtual platform. Catherine will facilitate, have a look at it. But if it's worth sending out to the world, she'll send it out into the world. But it's about a micro-rebellion against the pilfering of our creative and intellectual property, because this is a real issue. I noticed that in the last 24 hours, the Country and Music Awards, the National Australian Country and Music Awards, have realise that some of the material which was being sent in to be judged was being created by AI, and it's now changed the category of material in terms of only that which is generated by human beings is able to be judged for those awards. So there are micro-rebellions everywhere. Now, obviously, there's a lot of people who think there's no point. There's a lot of people who think nothing's going to change. Now, if we all believed this, there would have been no changes in the world. There wouldn't have been the creation of a parliamentary democracy, irrespective of its shortcomings. There would be no campaigns against slavery. Slavery would be a part and parcel of everyday life. We would still see women as the chattels of men. We'd have public executions. And the list goes on and on. Change comes initially from individuals taking a stand. Whether that stand is effective or ineffective is irrelevant. What's relevant is that we as individuals and as groups and as communities fight back in order to maintain our integrity, our autonomy, our ability to govern ourselves, and most importantly of all, our ability to break down the structures that have been created, which have usurped, in this country, the power of Parliament to make any decisions regarding society. For example, currently there's a debate. It's finally become a debatable issue, the universal basic income. And the critics say, what about the cost? What about the cost? Well, what about us talking about the same thing week in and week out? Homelessness, fees for tertiary education, the inability of young people to buy a home, and the list goes on and on. The same topics over and over again. 26 million people living on a resource-rich continent. It's about changing the way we access the wealth to ensure that small section of society that owns the means of production, distribution, exchange, communication no longer dominates our thinking. And let's not forget that cynicism is the aphrodisiac of the ruling classes. The gunners are the aphrodisiac of the ruling classes. The somebody should do something about that tribe are the aphrodisiac of the ruling classes. Obviously, the actions we take are only a drop in an ocean of indifference. But that drop in an ocean of indifference can coalesce into a movement which creates a tsunami for change. So thank you, Catherine. Catherine versus the world. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. My name is Joseph Toscano. And now talking about another little thing that I'm particularly interested in. Bad war criminals and good war criminals. Now, I have spoken in the past about good nuclear bombs and bad nuclear bombs. Well, obviously, good nuclear bombs are those which are used by the good guys, and bad nuclear bombs are those that are used by the bad guys. It's the same with war criminals. I never cease to be amazed how the Australian media, both the corporate-owned media and the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, bend over backwards to present the Israeli government's viewpoint. You know, we hear comments like that. We hear comments like Netanyahu saying that's the good war criminal. He's the good war criminal. He's our mate, all right? He's our ally, the good war criminal, saying, well, there's no starvation in Gaza. There's no famine in Gaza. So our media repeats the same shit. 100 people are killed. Well, we know nothing about it. But you see, Netanyahu and his cabinet, they're the good war criminals. We let them get away with genocide. G-E-O-N-D-I-C-E. Genocide. G-N-O-C-I-D-E. How's that? Genocide. We look on and we say, tat, tat. That's not good, but it's all right. They're our people. They're our people. The Israeli state is there to uphold the good. They're good war criminals. And then we have the Putins of the world. See, they're the bad war criminals. Every time there's some outrage in the Ukraine, we don't hear on the Australian Broadcasting Commission, Corporation, or the corporate-owned media giving us the Russians' side. Because, see, they're bad war criminals. We all agree they're bad war criminals. But when it comes to the good war criminals, the Israeli parliament, which has been accused of committing genocide by the United Nations, and their prime minister has been accused of being a war criminal, we get to hear them on a daily basis being apologetic or non-apologetic about the destruction they are causing. It's quite extraordinary when you think about it. But in many regards, this has occurred because we've allowed it to occur. We don't allow it as a nation to occur as far as the Russian invasion of the Ukraine is concerned. But when it comes to the genocide which has been conducted in Gaza and the destruction of the West Bank, we're more than happy to acquiesce as a nation through our media.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Listen to The Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. Now, another comment I'd like to make. Just out of interest. Now, if at some stage in the future, if the Israeli Prime Minister is prosecuted in The Hague, and these things can happen, as we've seen with the president, the former president of the Philippines, who's now cooling his heels in a Hague prison while he's awaiting trial for human rights abuses in the Philippines while he was president. So you never know what could happen in the future. What about those Australian citizens or those dual Israeli Australian citizens who are fighting with the Israeli Defence Forces? Because, see, ultimately, as far as the Nuremberg trials after World War II is concerned, the individual is ultimately responsible for their actions. And they can't claim they were just following orders and that somehow forgives them for being involved in atrocities, as we see here in terms of the Australian Defence Forces and the behaviour of elite units in Afghanistan who've been accused of war crimes, where individuals may face prosecution in this country in the very near future. So maybe all those people who've volunteered, Australian citizens who've volunteered to fight with the Israeli Defence Forces, maybe their families and friends should be thinking of the consequences, long-term consequences, if, as I believe, we will see trials occurring for the atrocities that have occurred in Gaza and Israel on the 7th of October 2023 in the near future. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. Peter Norman Day. Wow. We tend to forget, don't we? That's the beauty of Australian society. I woke up this morning and our history started this morning. There's no black history, obviously. There's no 60,000 years of history. There's no history of the oppression of convicts who came to this country. There's nothing about it. But who is Peter Norman? And what is Peter Norman Day? And why are you invited to stand with us to celebrate Peter Norman Day, Human Rights Day, at noon on Thursday the 9th of October? Well, on the 16th of October, 1968, at the Mexico Olympics, Peter Norman ran the 200-metre race in 20.06 seconds, winning the silver medal. So what, you say to myself? So what? We've just had the World Athletics competition and we've seen records broken by athletes from around the world. Well, that time remained the Australian record for more than half a century, only broken in 2024 by the teenage athletic sensation Gout Gout. Peter Norman featured in one of the most recognised pivotal moments in 20th century history. And if you go back to the 20th century, it was only 25 years ago, and you look at pivotal moments, the picture of Peter Norman, an Australian athlete who won the silver medal in the 200 metres at Mexico City on the 16th of October 1968, standing on the dais with Tommy Smith. And here goes my memory. And John Carlos, that's right, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, wearing a glove and giving a Black Power salute on the Olympic dais. This is one of the pivotal moments in terms of people recognising the struggle of Afro-Americans in the United States 100 years after the Civil War to actually be given the rights that everybody else enjoyed in that country. So instead of boycotting the 1968 Olympics, the Afro-American athletes formed the Olympic Project for Human Rights, as well as a number of other people who weren't Afro-athletes. And the organisation was open to all United States Olympians. Remember, it's 1968, those of you who are old enough to remember or know your history. The Soviet Union invaded Czechoslovakia. Student protests broke across Europe against the United States and the Soviet Union and against imperialism. Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King were both assassinated in the United States of America in 1968. On the eve of the Olympic medal presentation, Tommy Smith, the gold medalist, and John Carlos, the bronze medalist, both Afro-Americans, asked Australian Peter Norman, "Do you believe in human rights? Do you believe in God?" When he told them he did, the Americans told him about their plans, to which Peter replied, "I will stand with you." And during the medal presentation, he wore a badge titled the Olympic Project for Human Rights. John Carlos stated in later interviews that when they talked to Peter Norman, he saw love in his eyes, not fear. And at the Paris Olympics 2 years ago, Tommy Smith, who was a guest of the Olympic Federation, highlighted the important role that the Australian athlete Peter Norman played in their struggle. Now, Tommy Smith and John Carlos were stripped of their medals and ostracised in the United States of America for decades. In 1968, Australians had just passed a referendum the previous year that gave the Commonwealth government the power to legislate for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, considering the disgusting way this nation's First Nations people had been treated by state governments. In 1968, the White Australia policy was still in force in Australia. Peter Norman, when he returned to Australia, was ostracised and criticised for his support for human rights when he returned home to Australia. He was denied the right to run for Australia at the Munich Olympics in 1972, although on 13 separate occasions he bettered the 200-metre Olympic qualifying time. Extraordinarily, he was not invited to attend the 2000 Sydney Olympics, although he participated in some pre-Olympics activities in Melbourne. Now, I know it's the 25th anniversary of the Sydney Olympics, and we're all jumping up and down about this pivotal moment in Australian history, but let's not forget that in the year 2000, Peter Norman was not invited. Now, the United States Track and Field Committee was so disgusted by his treatment, they invited him to join them as their guest at the Olympic Village in Sydney. Now, Peter Norman died on the 3rd of October 2006 at the age of 60, how was it? At the age of 64, that's right, 64. Now, Tommy Smith and John Carlos came to Melbourne and delivered eulogies at his funeral in Coburg and acted as pallbearers for his coffin. Now, the US Track and Field Federation, realising the personal cost Peter Norman bore throughout his life because of his brave, dignified and moral stand in the struggle for universal human rights, declared the 9th of October, the day of his funeral in 2006, as Peter Norman Day, a day that is celebrated in the United States and ignored in Australia. So, if you're interested in commemorating this day, you don't have to ring up anybody, just join us at noon at Thursday, the 9th of October, at the entrance to the late Lakeside Stadium at the Peter Norman statue, at the site of the Peter Norman statue, at 33 AUGHTIE Drive, Albert Park in Melbourne. If you want further information, go to the Peter Norman Facebook page, or you can go to my Facebook page, Joseph Toscano. But it's an open invitation. Take the day off, celebrate the day. Athletics and sport is not just about your team beating their team. It's not just about individual glory. Ultimately, it's about creating an inclusive society. And I think it's important that we, as individuals and as a community, remember Peter Norman. It doesn't matter if there's 500 people or two. The fact that there's somebody there to mark Peter Norman Day on the 9th of October continues to be an important facet of everyday life in this country. So come and join us on the day. Noon, Thursday, 9th of October, Lakeside Stadium at the Peter Norman statue. That's at the entrance, 33 AUGHTIE Drive, Albert Park. See you there, and I'll remind you about it as we get closer to the day. It's only 2 weeks away. All right, let's move on. Lifters and leaners. Remember the good old days? Currently there's an interesting program on SBS, not on the ABC. Well, the SBS is part of the ABC, but not on the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, as you'd expect, but on SBS, looking at the robo-debt fiasco. Lifters and leaners. Remember the good old days 4 years ago when the Australians were divided into lifters and leaners. And those people on the 30% of Australians on social security benefits were described as leaners. And those who made a buck for the boss were lifters. And we saw the introduction of robo-debt. A system, a legalised, illegal, you like that? Legalised, illegal system, which was used to marginalise and criminalise those people who relied on social security benefits to survive. Because you see, social security benefits is a mutual obligation. It's, you know, I don't use the word welfare. I never use that word. It's a disgusting word to use. Because all it does is it reinforces the idea that somehow we're doing a good deed by giving people in difficult situations a bit of money to survive. It's about, social security is about a mutual benefit. You give people enough to survive, they don't revolt. It's very simple. But we saw this illegal system, which was declared illegal by the High Court, which the people who were involved in creating, ensuring the system continued to harass people for years, knowing that it was full well that it was illegal, because of the hysteria which was created in society as the federal government at that particular point in time, a coalition federal government, somehow got away with the idea of criminalising and marginalising people on social security benefits and describing them as leaners. That's right. So I encourage you to have a look at it. Interesting documentary. And the tragedy is like the, was it 2013 or was it 2009, you know, financial crisis, I think it was 2009 financial crisis. No consequences for anyone. No consequences for the politicians who created it, knowing full well that it was illegal. No consequences for Mr. Morrison, the Prime Minister. No consequences, except the consequence of Mr. Dutton losing his seat in the last federal election. No financial penalties. No criminal charges. When the government of the day can create an illegal, that's right, illegal mechanism by which to recoup money from people on social security benefits and gets away with it, you begin to wonder about the type of society we have created. No wonder the snapshot of Australian society in 2025 came up with three words to describe us as a people: sick, sad, and lonely. You're listening to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is a podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. What can you say? The buffoon in Washington does it again. Unbelievable, isn't it? Look, I don't care what the buffoon says. As I said, I'm trying as best I can to ensure that companies that are registered in the United States of America don't get one cent of my paltry finances. And if everybody else in Australia did that and stopped going to the USA, stopped using their aircraft, stopped using their products, maybe the buffoon in Washington, Buffalini, would get the message. But I doubt it. I mean, isn't it extraordinary? What we've seen is the creation of a gangster government. Now, there have been gangster governments before. This is a gangster government in terms of the president enriching himself at the expense of his fellow citizens, but at the same time pushing ideas like that the climate emergency is a con, and that paracetamol causes, you know, whatever, you begin to understand how difficult the situation has become. It's not just about the paracetamol story, but it's about much more than that. It's about the creation of a society where science takes a back seat. Not only that science takes a back seat, but it's seen as the enemy because it doesn't fit the current message. You know, I mean, shooting the message is a great way of ensuring that people don't get the message, but it doesn't really change reality because reality has a nasty habit of continuing irrespective of what we do and don't do if we don't actually try to change that reality. So it's the end of the first quarter of the 21st century. Science has been relegated to a back seat. Copernicus and Galileo would be spinning in their graves. Darwin would be, pulling his beard out. But the great thing is we're moving back to the Dark Ages. See, the thing about not accepting science and reality is that what it does, it creates the conditions which led to the mass deaths which occurred in the Dark Ages because of people's ignorance of what the reality was. And you can understand, no microscopes, people didn't understand about germs. It wasn't until 1867 when a doctor, Semmelweis, discovered germs and was handed to his grave and committed suicide a few years later because the medical fraternity thought he was a total fool. For example, Galen, the great Roman physician 2,000 years ago, noted that if there was pus in a wound, you needed pus in a wound for that wound to heal. So for the next 2,000 years until Semmelweis discovered germs in 1867, what physicians did is would try to create pus in a wound by putting animal dung and dirt into wounds. So when they saw pus, they think, oh, there's a chance that it'll heal. So for 2,000 years, we had this false dichotomy, you know, false. So we've moved to a new age. It's a lovely age. It's based on the irrational, ignorance, the mystical, and the magical. That is the way forward. We don't need to actually look at reality. The climate emergency is a con. If the president, the buffoon, tells it's a con, it's obviously a con. And if the president tells us taking paracetamol is going to harm your unborn child, although there's no direct evidence, well, obviously it's true, isn't it? So we've got this wellness industry which has been created. And to a significant degree, the wellness industry is intertwined with the American Magna movement. So we have, at the end of the first quarter of the 21st century, the ignorance, the irrational, the mystical, and the magical being seen as the way forward. Now, I can understand in the Middle Ages that the irrational seemed rational, the mystical seemed a way forward, and the magical seemed a way forward in a situation where you've got mass deaths, 40, 50, 60% of the population dying during the Black Plague. You can understand that people are looking for solutions, and whether those solutions are supernatural or magical or satanical or, you know, looking for scapegoats, which we're very good at, you know, in Australia in 2025. I mean, I can understand all that. But that's not the reality. We've got no excuse. We have no excuse. During the COVID-19 pandemic, 1 million Americans died. 70%, at least 700,000 died unnecessarily. Nobody remembers those 700,000 that died unnecessarily. Under the current United States administration, they're not recommending COVID-19 vaccinations. I mean, we are, in the 21st century, victims of our success. Victims of our success. I'm alive. I'll be 74 soon. I'm alive because I take 8 tablets a day for a number of comorbidities. And I'm sure many of our listeners are in exactly the same situation. I wouldn't have been alive 100 years ago. I would have been dead, which some people would have said, well, maybe it's a good thing. But to go back to the Dark Ages, when we have the knowledge to actually understand what is happening around us, is totally irrational. And in many regards, the fact that we are not able to accept that knowledge, that we rely on mysticism, magical solutions, irrational solutions, solutions which are based on total ignorance, to a significant degree highlight the type of societies we've created, societies where a small number of individuals own the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication, where the main game is not to look after the welfare or the health of the population as a whole. The main game is to ensure that their profitability continues. So if you're in the gas and coal industry, obviously, when the buffoon says it's a con, you clap. It's a little bit like smoking and lung cancer 25, 30 years ago. I mean, when the medical fraternity put out that information initially, they were poo-hooed. Now, it's accepted as facts, but maybe not in the United States of America. Now, I'm old enough to remember diphtheria, whooping cough, tetanus, which is still around, polio. These are all preventable, measles, these are all preventable diseases through vaccinations. And when you get people in authority ignoring the scientific reality, you get that situation. So maybe what the buffoon in Washington is doing is creating a situation where he is trying to reduce the American population through not implementing preventable options. So, 21st century, back to the Dark Ages, the irrational, the mystical, the magical is the way forwards. Shoot the messenger. Don't acknowledge reality. And I can assure you that we will find that life expectancy will decrease, infection will increase, and the human race will begin to experience the same reality our forebears experienced 100, 200, 300 years ago. But we have no excuse. They had an excuse. They didn't know. They were ignorant. Not because they wanted to be ignorant, but because the knowledge wasn't there. We have the knowledge, but as a society, increasing numbers of people in our society are becoming involved in this war against science and are pushing back us to the Dark Ages, the days of the irrational, the ignorant, the mystical and the magical. Thank you for listening to The Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program has been streaming live on 3cr.org.au. That's 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. The podcast will be up in the next 48 hours. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489. 0439. 395-489. YouTube channels, Public Interest Before Corporate Interest, josephtoscano.nam. You can join Public Interest Before Corporate Interest right now I saw somebody join last Thursday in front of my eyes. Functioning website. Go to PIBSY, PIB.net. Go to PIBSY, PIB.net, and hey presto, you'll be able to join. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World this week, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. This program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. The program is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. You can access many other programs via the Community Radio Network and via Community Radio 3CR. And don't forget, Community Radio was a creation of the Whitlam-led Labor government in the mid-1970s in order to break the monopoly the Murdoch media had on the dissemination of information in this country. So keep listening to your local community radio station, keep listening to The Anarchist World this week, and keep supporting your local community radio station by volunteering, becoming a listener sponsor, or giving them money. Who knows? So thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World this week on your local community radio station.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.